the source and the strength of our life. Busy, busy weekend celebrating Father's Day and Juneteenth. What a blessing, a double blessing. All right, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, one and all. As you say, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the morning scripture and the morning prayer. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And verses 14 through 21. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our own life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we can be made right with God through Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who's taking part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for the life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey and be blessed by. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift up Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found by you. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. We are God's ambassadors. Thank you, Loretta. Sister Deaconess Loretta, have a great day. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, awesome Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here.
Let's go. bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, set, clap your hands.
Lord, our God is great. For the Lord our God.
everything I wanna have, and I may not be everything I wanna be.
Is moving right now.
Never lost a battle, never lost a battle, and never will. Pastor, you put the icing on the cake with that song. And as always, you took us there. And we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
But they don't know you like we do. believe? Do you really, really believe? Boy, I was just listening to those songs that Pastor has played this morning, and definitely there is a theme of praise. We recognize that he can do all things. He's never lost a battle. And then that last song I just played, you know, he has the final say. And so as we go to the throne this morning, let's remember who it is that we're talking to. We are talking to the all-powerful God who can do anything but fail. And yes, he loves us, and we should always just wallow in the fact that he does love us. But at the same time, we need to remember that the one who loves us can do anything. So we must praise him and we must worship him. Before we get into the prayer, I would like to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, whether you are a father of children naturally or whether you are a more of a spiritual father. And recognize that you've got young people in your life who are watching you and who are mimicking what you do. And so we just want you to know here at Runner for Christ Ministries that we appreciate you. And God sees what you do. He sees your heart and he appreciates you too. So let us go to the ultimate Father, the Father of all fathers, and let us pray. To the one and only true God, we give glory and honor. We recognize you as the one who knows all, sees all, who is everywhere at once, and the one who is all-powerful. It is amazing to know that you are all that you are, and yet you are also our Father, that you love us in ways that's too impossible for us to fully grasp. Even still, we are ever grateful. And so as we come into your presence, we bid you happy Father's Day. After all, you are the Father of all fathers. We just wish that more earthly fathers would follow your lead and that all of us, male or female, would seek to do what Jesus would do. But since we know full well that we usually ignore your teaching and guidance, we need to repent right now. Lord God, please forgive us for woeful disobedience to you and your word. We are not just speaking words. We really mean this. As each of us right now reflect on any unconfessed sin, please bring to our remembrance anything we are sweeping under the rug. Look into our hearts and bring to our conscious mind anything at all that may hinder our overall relationship with you and this very specific prayer we offer up this morning. Please forgive us. And now we thank you, for it doesn't take more than confessing our sin for you to forgive us. God, I thank you for your simplicity, for your clarity of speech, for your preciseness. You tell it like it is. You not only say what needs to be said, but you have and continue to show us the way. There is no subject that we need to wonder where you stand. There's been a debate raging in land, in our land, over 100 years. Satan fuels it to the point that people think they must adopt a position of being pro-life or pro-choice. But you, God, have demonstrated to us that you are both pro-life and pro-choice. Of course you are all about life. You create life. The first record we have is where it's recorded regarding life in Genesis 2:7. It says that you breathe life into Adam. You believe that life is to be protected and that we should not take the life of another. You gave the command that we should not murder. You sanctioned Cain. When he killed his brother Abel, you laid down much of the way of guidance about how to deal with murderers in the Old Testament. And so we know, Father, that you are pro-life, and yet you are pro-choice as well. Because you are God, you can stop any murder about to be committed. You can stop any heinous act your creation was about to engage in. You can limit any evil, vile behavior the enemy convinces a human being to do. You can check Satan, too. Although you did not permit him to kill Job, you allowed Job's children to perish. In addition to murder, you have also given mankind the choice to commit any number of other sins. That sounds bad and sad, doesn't it, Father? Well, to us, whose thoughts you have said are far away from your thoughts, indeed, you said our thoughts are as far away from yours as the heavens are from the earth. So since we can't clearly see your ways of thinking, we get into intellectual and philosophical discussions about why you, a good, good God, would let bad, bad things happen. And yet, the answer is so simple in that you have given us free will. You want us to choose to do right. You want us to choose to accept your salvation through the provision made by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. For us, it is a free gift, but we have to choose to receive it. You want us to choose to be in relationship with you, to choose to acknowledge you as our Father. You are not into kidnapping and snatching up people who don't want any part of you. Wow, you are just so amazing and deep, and I might add simple, all at the same time. Thank you, God, for being so straightforward and giving us your word so we know which way to go. Thank you for the life of Jesus Christ, who modeled good, godly behavior for us when he was here. Father, help us to get back to the exercise of asking, what would Jesus do? To sincerely meditate on how Jesus would see a situation and then on what Jesus would say. For we know if we did that, you would be pleased. For Jesus said he did what you told him to do and that he said what you told him to say. So if we could just follow the leadership of Jesus, we would live lives full of good choices. You have given us the answers to all tests in the best-selling, most informative book of all time. That is the Bible. Lord, I pray that we will stop seeking the counsel of the ungodly, which is just the blind leading the blind. Oh, Lord God, for the one who is trying to decide if he or she should use physical force to make their spouse remain in marriage, please remind them of 1 Corinthians 7:15, which highlights that you want us to live in peace. So if someone wants to leave, let them go. For the one who is in the strife-filled relationship, whether it be husband or wife, mother, daughter, father, son, grandparent, grandchild, instead of talking on the phone and gossiping about the other person, let them drop to their knees and seek your advice. Let them burrow into your word, and you know what they probably will find, a mirror. For you know, as we need to also know, that the only one we have the true ability to change is ourselves. And you have told us to put others before ourselves, yet we complain to you all day about how we're being treated. Oftentimes, it's not even mistreatment at all, but simply whining because we can't have our way, because we cannot impose our will on another. Oh, Lord, please help us. This morning, we put godly choices on the altar. Consistent with James 1:12, we seek the blessings that come from persevering under trial, because having stood the test, we know we will receive the crown of life that you have promised to us who love you. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said your wishes that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We also stand on your word that says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We also acknowledge that if we keep our minds stayed on you, you will keep us in perfect peace. These are promises from you, Lord, and you always do what you say you will do. Let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Oh, Lord God, the things you see in our world, we only get a glimpse of the evil destruction that we have wrought on ourselves, our nations, and our fellow man, but you see all of the wickedness in its raw form. This past week here in the United States, we got to see and hear congressional testimony from a few people speaking honestly about the former president and his supporters and allies' evil plots to overthrow the government. Testimony was provided that illuminated the fact that human life was less valued than the power the former president attempted to hold on to. The vice president's life was threatened, and seeing how close he came to being murdered, basically by just 40 feet, even the vice president and his allies would have to give glory to you for sparing his life. And we take a moment now, God, to thank you for sparing his life. For as bad as things turned out on January 6, 2021, we know that it could have been far, far worse. Some of those who testified mentioned prayer and your precious word. I thank you for them keeping, I thank you for keeping them at that time and for urging them to come forward and speak the truth. I pray that more of them will find the courage than they did during the reign of terror, during the actual administration, the past administration. Lord, for us to heal this great nation that's being split apart, the full truth needs to come out. I pray that you shine a light that illuminates every dark corner that any corrupt politician turned in support of evil. I know you can do this. You have the final word, just like that song says. Just like you are, you decide what happens. So show us the way to be like you. Pro-life. We need to see every life as precious as you do, whether they are old or young, black or white, poor or rich, a person already saved and pressing towards the mark, or on the way to being saved, immersed in sin. You created every last one of us, and you love every last one of us. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nation. We are fully aware, Lord, because your word says so, that as your people who are called by your name, that when we come before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that is what will activate your promise of healing our lands. We pray for the true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Lord, I gotta believe that if this is happening, that if they truly seek you and they make godly decisions, we wouldn't have the war that we have in Ukraine. We wouldn't have all these guns on the street and all of these people being allowed to behave wickedly, not even having laws to check them. We wouldn't see literally senior citizens taking up guns and shooting a group of people at a fellowship for what our baby boomers, people in their 70s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s. Oh, Lord, please help us. Let our leaders every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledged to undertake. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, and physically. For the sick that may be among us, please watch over them like our mothers of the church and that one that's referred to as the father of our church, Tyrone Hamilton. Please also show love and mercy to our brother, Minister John McFaul. We pray each of them will know and feel your presence every step of the way towards their healing and recovery. And we are pleading that it will take place speedily. Help us to see that it is you, Lord God, that is with us, that you are leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you. Lord, there's some probably listening in that may not really know you well, that is asking themselves, what do I actually have to do to be saved? Help them to see, Lord, it is just a heart-to-heart thing, that if they really want to know you, that you will reveal yourself to them. Answer their prayers, Lord. Help us also remember our days are numbered, and may that knowledge urge us to be about your business. For those who have recently lost loved ones, we ask that you will comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit and by acts of kindness, especially of those who call ourselves Christians, Lord. We're supposed to be doing good works. We are your representatives. Help us to recognize, Lord, that everyone doesn't handle grief the same way. Help us not to be impatient when people seem like they're lagging and haven't gotten to the point that they accept the death of a loved one. Help us to remember to show love and be kind when we're interacting with each other, especially when we're doing it on your behalf and in your name. We place all of this at your feet, our world, our family, our relationships, everything that's on our hearts, and we're going to leave it right here at the altar. We will not move until you tell us to. We're going to cast all our cares on you, just like you said to do so. So now, Lord, please hear all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. Lord, it just blows our minds that we could be at different ends of the earth and all here at once, praying together. Thank you for this venue of Blog Talk and for listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone that's listening is already saved before the service is ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you. both today and well into the future. Lord, we recognize that it's not just those that are tuning in live that may be listening to this broadcast, but there may be some who will hear it in the future, some the near future, maybe next week, and there may be some that are listening well into the distant future when I have long passed away and in your presence. So, Lord, let them recognize that this is for them too, that time isn't anything that you are constrained by. So a message that comes from us, through us, on June 18, 2022, can be held, listened to 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now even, and still be for the person who is listening. So let them pay close attention. Let them listen and learn. We pray that you open their physical and spiritual eyes so they see and understand. And we pray for these souls, Lord. Give them a word for them in their time, whatever they're going through. And we know you will do this because you are a faithful God who keeps your covenant love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and keep your commands. Help us to remember, Lord, there is a condition to that. We've got to demonstrate that we love you. And the way we do that is by being obedient. And we bring these petitions to you as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. We join heaven this morning declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal this prayer in the name that every knee will bow to one day and that every tongue will confess as Lord. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Best day ever. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd just like to take a moment to wish all the fathers all over the world a happy Father's Day. You are the man that protects us. You are important to us, and you are needed. We thank you, and we thank God for you. Enjoy your Father's Day, and enjoy our Juneteenth holiday. Thank you, Lord. Okay, All right. And I'd like to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Okay? Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear, and doing triple-double duty in her excellence to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour, is our very own Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess Dr. June Rogers as she comes in her own way to introduce the speaker. Amen.
Holy. Bow down before the Lord God, our maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fill the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands. Touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of your joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I'll keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and life, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence, the fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall, but with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life up on the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Holy,
you know that it's holy,
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 yeah, yeah.
full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Question for you this morning. Can you hear the gratitude in that song? The gratitude for salvation? Wow. All I got to say is when Pastor O plays that song, recognizing the gratitude he has for his salvation, and at the end, who you going to send? Send me. And he is answered that call. We say Happy Father's Day to you, Pastor O. He's asked me to read James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, where it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Thank you for joining us this morning in the service. Please know that it is not an accident that you came to listen to this message. God knew before you even dialed the numbers on your phone or typed in the website on your computer that you would be here. Think of Runner for Christ Ministries as a funnel for a special blessing from the Lord just for you. So this morning, we are blessed to hear a message from the book of James, delivered by God's most trusted servant, Pastor O, who has demonstrated himself as one reflective of these words from 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. He is a man approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. I am sure that you are ready to roll with him as he gets out front in this message. So if you are ready, let's invite him to speak. Pastor, I know you are ready to fire on all cylinders. So break it down for us.
Hey, man, thank you. Fire on all cylinders. Last week I was pistons. This week I'm all cylinders. Thank you, Deacon June Rogers. I really appreciate it, and thank you for that awesome prayer. I could just feel the Lord's ears wide open and hearing, and then watching angels go this way and that way. That lets me know he heard and answered. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. That's such a blessing. Amen. And it's really inspiring. And I sit, you know, in great anticipation to see what's going to be said in the introduction, because I know it's not just made up by June. I know that the Lord placed it on our heart, and he knows exactly what to say to me to get me past the stuff I'd be going through before I had to preach. Amen. I thank God that my wife has prayed for me, and I'm feeling that right now, and I'm ready to preach. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you want to give a word to your people. We thank you, Father, that you picked me to do that. And we thank you, Father, that this word is going to go forth. And like you said, your word will not return to you void, spaceless, empty, vacuumless, not accomplishing what you sent it out to do. So we know this word is going to work. In Jesus' name, we thank you already. Amen. 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 We thank God for you, and we pray that you've been blessed through the song service. The Lord wouldn't allow me to speak. I wanted to speak on every one of them, but he said, you're going to speak. You're going to speak long enough, so just be satisfied with that. So today we're going to be talking about listening and doing, simply put, you know, not just a doer, a hearer, but a doer of the word. Amen. You know, we hear a lot of sermons. We hear a lot of Bible teachings. We listen to folks on the radio, folks whoever talking about the Lord anywhere that we might go. Amen. Let me stop. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I be hearing stuff inside my head, so forgive me for laughing. It's just, you know, Jesus kind of jokey all the time. I know you probably know a different Jesus. He be mad at you all the time, want to punish you all the time. I don't know that Jesus. I know the kind of Jesus that went through a whole lot to make me his little brother, right? And so hating on me, getting rid of me, that's not going to happen. Okay, now he's going to work on me. Oh, yeah, he promised me that in Philippians 1:6. I'm going to work on you, Pastor. Amen, when you want it, when you don't want it. But I know I always need it, and I always give thanks to him for it. Amen. So back to what we was talking about. We hear a lot of words in church and Bible classes and from people who talk the Bible to us. We hear a whole lot of words, amen? But the Lord wants us to not just hear words. He don't want us to just listen, and listening is good. We're going to talk about that, okay? But doing is a whole lot better, amen? It's one thing to listen how to make more money. It's a whole other thing to put into practice what you heard about making more money. Now I got your attention. I'm talking about money, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to listen now. That's talking about how I'm going to get paid. Amen. But God wants us, amen, to be more than just people who hear a lot of words. Somehow we think that if we go to church and Bible class, if we even open up our Bible at home and read it, and the Lord see us doing that, we automatically get blessed, even though we don't do any of the things we heard. Well, God wants you to know that is really not how it works. And so he allowed me this privilege today to speak to you about listening and doing. Now, verses 19 through 21 in James chapter 1 seem to be completely disconnected from 22 to 25, and they're not even the same thought. But no, verses 19 through 21, amen, if you get that together, then you go down there to 22 through 25. So let's look at verse 19, and it simply says, understand this. Amen. The Lord wants us to understand this, what he is about to say. And he qualifies who he is talking to. My dear brothers and sisters, you ain't no brother, you ain't no sister if Jesus ain't your Savior. I'm just going to go and throw that out there because I ain't going to waste no time. I'm not going to even play with you. You are not a brother or a sister if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. I just got to put that out there. Because, see, we're in the epistles. This is one of the epistles. These are the letters that Jesus had folks to write to people who had gotten saved, who had accepted him as Lord and Savior. He wanted them to know how to live this new life. And it's new. That's why it's called the New Testament. It's God's new covenant. It's God's new way of making folks right with him. In the Old Testament, he had that old covenant. You had to kill up animals and burn up everything and give them this and give them that and And it did not work because they did not even make it into the promised land, those who left out of Egypt. Amen. But God has given us a better covenant. Amen. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and accept him and admit that we are sinners without hope. And Jesus is our hope, and we accept him as Lord and Savior, we're in. Just like that. And then Philippians 1:6 immediately kicks in. I want to read it to you. Go get, grab your biblical and go over to Philippians 1:6. It's that word with a whole lot of P's in it. Amen. Look at Philippians 1:6. Listen to what it says. Oh, this is going to make you feel real good. Philippians 1:6. For those of you who are using the table of contents, I'm praying for you, Jesus, help you. Amen. And I am certain, wow, that right there is good. I'm certain. Paul said, I ain't playing, I ain't ambiguous at all. I'm certain. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. Now, look, Jesus come back one or two ways. John tells us in John chapter 4 that Jesus can come back, amen, and just get me. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, Pastor. And when it's ready, I'm coming back to get you and receive you unto myself so that you can be with me. That's singular, all singular right there. But then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's talking about the whole church. I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who have fallen asleep. The Lord Jesus himself going to descend from heaven, make a whole lot of noise. And the dead in Christ going to rise first. And those of us who are yet alive and remain shall be harpazo. That's the Greek word for caught up, snatched away. And we're going to be together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Jesus coming back to get us. But before he comes back, he's working on us. So understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Are you a brother? Are you a sister? Then I'm talking to you, and Jesus wants you to understand this. Now listen, here's three things he wants you to understand. You must all, he's talking to all those who belong to the body of Christ, who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You must all be what? Quick to listen, that's number one. Slow to speak, that's number two. And slow to get angry. Amen. What does this have to do with listening? It has everything to do with listening and doing. Jesus said, be quick to listen. Listen to what? The word of God. Be quick to listen. Be quick to hear. Want to hear. Desire to hear. And he's talking about the word of God. When somebody starts talking about the word of God, we should be quick to listen to what they're saying. When we open up the Bible and we read the word of God, we should be quick to listen to what it's saying. And we should be what? Slow to speak. Now, what he is talking about here are people who weren't really in a hurry to hear the word of God. You have some folks who come to church on Sunday and they ain't heard no sermon. And then when they do hear something in the sermon, they have something to speak against it. So what he is saying here is be quick to listen to the word of God and be slow to speak against it. Be slow to become argumentative with what the word says, or disagreeable with what the word says. To hear what God says and be slow to speak against what God says. See, that's why you had to dig deep into these scriptures and figure out what the Lord is saying to us. Remember, James writing to the churches who are scattered all over the Roman provinces, and they've been involved in all kinds of paganism. And now they've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and he's telling them, be quick to listen to what they're telling you. And be slow to raise up an argument against what God has said. It never ceases to amaze me. We'll believe anything the devil tells us. And we will argue, debate everything God says to us. I wrote a paper on that not too long ago. The Lord had me to write on that. I had no idea I would be preaching this again. But amen. And then he says, slow to get angry. See, sometimes we get into these biblical debates, and I got my interpretation of what God said, and you got your interpretation, and God ain't said but one thing, and God meant what he said and made it plain. But somehow we done come up with two different opinions about what God said. You speaking one thing, I'm speaking another thing, and now we done got angry. You can't make somebody believe God's word by fussing at them, by being mean to them. You can't go around telling people what God going to do to them if they don't believe, unless God told you to tell them what he's got. God has already written his word out. It's all the way to Revelations 22:21. So I don't read where God is saying be angry to people to make them believe. Be angry to Christians who are slow to believe your point of view. Don't see it your way. So James is saying, be quick to listen, hear what the word of God is saying, be slow to speak against what God is saying, and be slow to get angry when you don't agree with what God has said. Amen. Because he tells us right here, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God is looking for. God is looking for his word, amen, God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you cannot produce the kind of righteousness. All you produce is strife. Peter says, avoid genealogies. Paul says, avoid these things that lead to strife, these arguments that make no sense, people coming up with wrong interpretations of God's word. Don't even get into it with them. Because no matter how mad, no matter how angry you get, you cannot produce righteousness, not the kind that God desires. So he says, get rid of all filth and the evil in your lives. Now, see, these folks have been living among pagans, and they've adopted some of their ways. You remember when Nehemiah went to rebuild that wall? And he found that these folks had adopted some of the pagan ways. They had started marrying foreign women. And they were all putting their own brothers and sisters in debt, slavery debt. And God said, you don't do that to your own brothers and sisters. So they had adopted some ways. And so James says, those ways that are not God's ways, get rid of them. Okay? Those ways that are not God's ways that you've read from God's word, why? Because you was quick to listen, you was slow to speak against it, and you ain't even get mad about it when it disagreed with what you believe, right? And you didn't get angry at somebody trying to produce what God desires, the kind of righteousness he desires, so you get rid. Amen. When you read in God's word that God's word disagrees with your lifestyle, well, get rid of that filth and the evil in your life. Now, God wouldn't tell you to do something that you cannot do. He's not telling you to be perfect. But what he is telling you is to fight back. He is telling you to humble yourself under him. He's telling you to resist the devil. Why? Because you've read what God said. And here is the devil saying what he got to say, or somebody he's using to say what they have to say. You read what God has. See, I don't want to get deep in this because somebody's going to get offended. Amen? God says stop having sex outside of marriage. God says stop shacking up. God said stop not tithing. God said stop not giving offerings. Now, when you read what God says, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. Jesus called it a cross. He said, deny yourself. What is yourself? Yourself and your way of thinking that is not God's way of thinking. Jesus says, deny that. All that you have been listening to before you met him, before you read his word, he says, stop listening to that and start listening to me. So get rid of the filth and the evil in your life, watch this, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. Didn't God say that in the Old Testament? I'm not going to give them no tablets of stone with my word on it. I'm going to write it on the tablets of their heart. That means you've read God's word. You've seen what God said. God has planted his word in your heart. Why? That you might not sin against him. You know, before I met the Lord, I used to love to have girlfriends. I used to love to be with them girlfriends. Then in 1975, I got saved. Around 1977, early in that year, the Lord started talking to me about my sex life. I didn't want to hear that. Amen. But he kept talking to me about my sex life. He had planted a word in my heart called fornication. And I didn't know what it meant at first. And then God taught me what that word meant. It turns out it's sex outside of marriage. And he told me over there in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, that the marriage bed is undefiled. I ain't know what that meant either. In other words, anybody you getting in the bed with that you ain't married to, that bed is defiled. Lord, have mercy. When I figured all that out, I was in trouble. Why? Because God had planted a word in my heart, for it has the power to save your souls. Look, salvation, we need to stop thinking of salvation as one-dimensional. Okay, just know this, that salvation covers salvation from the penalty of sin. That's number one. Salvation gives us power over sin. Romans chapter 8. Listen, now I want to, we know John 3:16. We don't have to go there, do we? John 3:16 say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that to whosoever just believes in him will not perish, but will inherit, get from Christ just because they believed eternal life. God said in John chapter 1, verse 12, amen, to as many as have believed on him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. This was not of a human decision, a mother and father, but the express will of God. Amen. So we know that salvation covers and releases us from what? The penalty of sin. Right? But salvation also gives us power over sins. Now let's run to a passage we're probably not real familiar with. Romans chapter 8. You know, in Romans chapter 7, Paul, well, let's look at it. Listen to how Paul leave off in Romans chapter 7. Listen, I'm going to start at verse 21. He says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me, and y'all know that other power is us, that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. In other words, when we got saved, our flesh didn't. Our soul is caught in the middle of a saved spirit that always wants to do God's will, an unsaved flesh that never wants to do God's will. And our mind, our will, and our emotions have to make a choice to listen to God or listen to the flesh. Oh, what a miserable person I am, since Paul has realized the predicament we are in. Our flesh didn't come along for to be saved with Jesus. It is completely unsaved. That's why it has to be renewed. And our spirit is totally into Jesus, does everything, wants to do everything he says. But again, our soul, our mind, our will, and finally, our emotions that produce the acts that our mind and will have come together on, agreed on. And so he says here in verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by the flesh, by sin and death? And then he says, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because if I just believe, I won't perish, but I'll have everlasting life. But he's not speaking to the other two. The power over sin. And finally, salvation from the presence of sin. So you see how it is, in my mind, I really want to obey God's law. That's my spirit, right? But because of my sinful nature, my flesh that ain't saved, I'm a slave to sin. But Romans chapter 8 gives us the answer to that dilemma that we were left in chapter 7. Listen to what he says. He repeats it again. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're good to go. So now, since I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That is salvation from the penalty of sin. And because you belong to him, now here is salvation from the power of sin, making you do whatever it wants you to do. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from what? The power of sin that leads to death. In other words, if I follow Jesus, I don't have to sin. The law of Moses was the law. You know, he's got these black Israelites and all these other lights running around here talking about I live under the law. Really? The law of Moses was unable to save us. Why? Because it ain't Jesus. Oh, I just blessed somebody. Somebody just got blessed. The law is not Jesus. The law was given by Jesus, but it is not Jesus. It cannot save you. It wasn't made to save you. The law ain't nothing but a babysitter to hold us till Jesus came. Read Romans chapter 3, start at verse 19. Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. In other words, ain't nothing wrong with the law. It's something wrong with us. Ain't nothing wrong with God's holy law. It's something wrong with God's unholy people. Amen. So Jesus came and did what we could not do in and of ourselves. We could not satisfy the law. So God sent his son, put him under the law, gave him some human flesh, human parents, put him down here where we at. And now Jesus got to live under the same law we live under. He got to obey God like we're supposed to and without fail if he wants to be our Savior. And we see that he passed the test over there in Matthew chapter 4 when he went out into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. He was the second Adam that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about. He did this so that the just requirement of the law that required perfection would be fully satisfied for us. See, God imputed Christ's righteousness to us. We no longer follow after our sinful nature, but instead we follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the flesh, the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, amen, think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control, did you see what he said over there in verse 6? Letting, are you letting your sinful nature control your mind, which leads to death? In other words, works that God, that are not produced by the Spirit of God through you are dead works. They don't produce nothing. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. You want life to be all right? You want peace in your life? Well, let the Spirit control your mind. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God, your flesh. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. So stop thinking you're going to get your flesh together. The only way you can do that, here's how you do that. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature, they can't please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature because you're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Wow. That's scary, ain't it? Now we go back over here to James, and we have a much better understanding of that word. Amen. That the Lord spoke to us. A much better understanding of what he meant when he said, amen. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. He ain't telling you to save yourself or fix yourself, but he is saying, and humbly accept the word of God as planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls from the penalty of sin. save your souls from the power of sin, and save your soul, amen, from the presence of sin. When we all see Jesus, let's go here. Look here. Go with me real quick. Don't fall a trip while you're going, but get here to Revelation 21. This is when God removes the presence of sin. We talked about how God removes the penalty of sin through our accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We talked about how he gives us the Holy Spirit to listen to so we have power over sin. And now we're going to talk about how God is going to remove the very presence of sin so we ain't bothered by it no more. Revelation 21 simply says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and their sea was also gone. And I also saw the holy city." We don't even have one of those yet, but it's there. Amen. "The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for a husband." I asked Jesus, "How big is the new Jerusalem?" He said, "Well, if you set it right where Michigan is, it would cover all the way from Michigan down to up to the north, down to the south, all the way over to California. That's how big it is." Wow. "And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no or sorrow or crying or pain.'" All these things gone forever. Presence of sin gone. "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the second death has no power over you. Why? Because you took part in the first resurrection. You passed from death to life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You hear what I said? You passed from death to life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So Paul says, amen. Understand this, dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen what the words say, slow to speak against what the words say, and slow to get angry when you disagree with what the word says. Because human anger can't produce the righteousness that God wants. If that was the case, God would just make us all mad and we'd be righteous. Get rid of the filth and evil in your lives. Now, ain't that something the Lord tells us to get rid of it? So apparently it's going to be a sacrifice to not do what we want to do, not say what we want to say, not feel how we want to feel. It's going to be a sacrifice, but he says, so get rid of all filth. He didn't say, and I will get rid of it. He says we should get rid of it. That means we're going to have to, like Adam and Eve, the filth in their life was eaten from that tree, or even thinking about eating from that tree. So God said, get rid of them thoughts about that tree. All they had to say when the devil came around trying to get them more interested in the tree is to say, the Lord has said. And they did. They didn't do what God said. They knew what God said, but they didn't do what God said. So don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling God. God knows you're not doing anything he told you to do. God says, study to show yourself approved unto him. How often does God see you one-on-one studying to show yourself approved unto him? How many times a week is your Bible cracked open? It's just you, just the Holy Spirit, and you are reading the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. How often does God see that? When most folks just want somebody, you just tell me what God said. No, the Lord says here, don't just listen to God's word. Remember, be quick to listen, but don't just listen. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself, coming to church every Sunday, going to every Bible class, every time you're on the radio listening to every preacher, you're on Facebook liking every religious post, but you ain't doing none of it. God says bring the tithe in the storehouse. Are you doing that? God says love your neighbor like you love yourself. Are you doing that, or have you found some people that you just can't love and you think it's justified because of what they did? Look what they did to Jesus. Did he stop loving us because they almost beat the skin off his body till he wasn't nothing but bones? Did he stop loving us when he hung on that cross from the 6th to the 9th hour for stuff we did? But you done found somebody you can stop loving. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You think you got some kind of relationship with the Lord that you don't have. God is not us. See, we can act all holy, holy, holy in front of each other, but God looks at you when you ain't in front of nobody. He hear the words you speak. I know folks who cuss like Jesus don't even exist. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Wow. How many folks do that? They go to church, and then Jesus allow the devil to come test them before they even get out of church. And they're already fallen, even though they just heard what the word said. See, we don't have to, you know, when you hear, my wife will tell you I'm like this. I can be going the wrong way for a long time. But when the Lord Jesus comes to me through the Holy Spirit and speaks to me and says, you're going the wrong way, you need to go this way, my wife will tell you I'm switching. I don't care what I used to teach, there's no such thing as tithing. Until 1978 when the Lord told me up. Amen. I used to teach there is no such thing as tithing. Now, it wasn't that I was against giving the church money. To me, it just didn't make sense that God was only going to be in charge of 10% of my money. I wanted the Lord in charge of 100% of me and 100% of my money. It didn't make no sense with just 10%. But God knew what he was doing. What he was saying is each member of a church ought to give 10% to help support God's work through that church. And when I understood it like that, the 10% didn't bother me. And Jesus said, if you want to give a little more, go ahead and give a little more. I won't get mad at you. Amen. And my wife will tell you, I don't tell her to do this. She do it on her own. She will not go to church without giving God no money. We could have not made a dime all week. She's still going to give an offering. And then I do our taxes, right, because my accountant taught us to. And then I'm doing our taxes, and I look at how much we gave to the church, and I look at how much we made, and I'll be like, hey, baby, we need to talk. And she'll say, amen, that's just the way it go. We always give more than what God asks for. Why? Because he always give more than what we ask for. You ask God for $500 to help somebody, he give you $1,500. And I say to the Lord, what do I do with the rest of this? I only needed $500 to help these people. He said, well, give it to your wife. She'll know what to do with it. Here's the close, and I'm going to close with this. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, wow. He's talking about looking into the Bible, reading God's word, and it can set you free from a whole lot. It can set you free from being broke. It can set you free from being depressed. It can set you free from being stressed. It can set you free from mourning like folks who have no hope. What are you bound up in? What got you bound up? What got you tied up? Well, look into the perfect law that sets you free. That's the Bible. Your freedom is in the Bible. Oh, geez, that hurt. Your freedom is in the Bible. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. This is why we live such defeated Christian lives. First of all, if you look carefully into the perfect law, that sets you free. How many people don't even open their Bible from one week to the next, go through a whole year, ain't read a word from God? So if God's word is not guiding your life, what is? If God's word is not guiding your finances, your faith, amen, if it's not guiding you, what is? But if you look carefully into the perfect law, see, you're not looking carefully if you skip Bible class every week. You're not looking carefully if every sermon you hear, you put nothing into practice. You ain't listening carefully. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, he said, if you look carefully, amen, if you fully obey and look carefully to follow all these commands I'm giving you today, then read them first 14 verses. All them blessings will run you down and overtake you. And people outside you will say, God blessing you. But we won't even read it. Listen to what he says. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the Bible, read what it says to do about any area of your life and put it into practice. And if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Ain't that something? God will bless you for doing what you heard. See, God ain't going to bless you for just hearing it, just because you're quick to listen. Amen? And if you're not doing it, then you need to learn how to be slow to speak against what God said. Why? When you hear what God said, why won't you do it? Don't you want to be blessed in what you do? I'm going to close with this. We're always talking about being blessed. Amen. Here's some stuff for you to do. Next week, practice this stuff. Jesus told us how to be blessed. We got all these preachers got you sending them all kinds of money, and you ain't blessed yet. But Jesus told us how to be blessed. Over there, he just told us if we look carefully into the law that gives freedom, and if we continue in it, and if we do what it says and don't forget what we heard, guess what he said? You'll be blessed in whatever it is you're doing. But the word of God should be determining, should be guiding you in what you're doing. Listen to what Jesus said as I close. This is my real close. One day as he was, I'm in Matthew, I'm in chapter 5. So next time you say, Lord, I need a blessing, come to Matthew chapter 5 and read. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, you know Jesus, he going to make it a teaching moment. Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him. When the Bible class opened, do you gather around Jesus? When you at home and your Bible laying there, open me, do you open it up and gather around Jesus? If you do that, guess what he'll do? He began to teach them. So when you open up that Bible, in Bible class, in church, in Sunday school, in your house, he'll begin to teach you. He'll say this, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And he's talking about mourning for sin, a corrupt world, and we long and mourn for that to be over. He's not talking about the kind of mourning of the loss of a loved one, but that'll work too. God blesses those who are humble, and they will inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Humble yourself unto God, and he will lift you up. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice or righteousness. That's those who hunger and thirst for God's will on earth as it is in heaven, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. So if you're unmerciful, don't expect God to be merciful to you. Who you think you is? God blesses those whose hearts are pure. That means they only trust, lean, and rely on God and nothing or nobody else to provide their needs, just God, for they will see God. You want to see God? He blesses those whose hearts are pure. Is your heart pure? James says the same thing in chapter 4. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded means you don't just trust God. You trust God and. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God, peacemakers. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. Not people who get persecuted because they ran a stop sign. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of things against you because you belong to Christ. Be happy about it. In other words, be blessed about it. That's what blessed means. Happy are you. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Amen. It's one thing to hear the word of God, but you just don't want to be a hearer only. You want to be a doer. And never live your Christian life in front of people. Live your Christian life in front of Jesus. Jesus knows every single thing you think, everything you say, and everything you do. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Become a workman who don't need to be ashamed, but one who can, in fact, rightly divide the word of truth that God gave us. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for what you gave us. The devil is coming, Lord. He's coming to snatch every single word away. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we hold on to what you gave us and that we don't let it go. I pray we hold on, Lord, like Jacob held on to that angel and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Oh, God, thank you for loving us because you want to. Help us, Lord, to love you back. Help us to understand you ain't working against us. You working to bless us. And the devil will come and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. You ain't Jesus. But, Lord, you gave us your Holy Spirit so that we could be released from sin's power, its grip over us. You saved us from eternal damnation. You saved us from Satan being able to do with us whatever you are, flesh being able to have his way with us. And, Father, one day we look forward to the day when the very presence of sin is gone and we will never, ever sin against you again. We won't ever. John 1:9 will never, ever be used again. We're looking forward to that day, Lord. But, Father, we ain't there yet. We're here in the flesh. Help us, Lord, to not just hear what you say. Not just be a listener, but a doer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Lord.
Okay, Crystal. Lord.
Yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Okay, so 15 minutes into your sermon, I did the old traditional Baptist index finger up, out to the back of the church and out the door because Lord have mercy. But we came back. Let me tell you something. If we have not been touched up today, then you don't belong to Jesus. Every single one of us should feel some kind of way. I'm Peter, okay, straight up. I'll cut your ear off. I'm not thinking about, you know, I'm Peter. And I'm pretty sure that all of us can identify with a disciple or two or a few. We have been reminded today that we are not all that. We have been reminded today that we have a lot of work to do, and we cannot do it by ourselves. We have been reminded today that we cannot just go up in church and hear the word and then leave out of the church doors and do absolutely nothing. You gave us an analogy one time where you said hearing the word is like going to the store, getting the groceries, and then when you come home, pull up in your garage and leave all the groceries that you bought in the car.
you have to take the groceries and bring them in the house, unpack them, and do with them what they were created to do. That is exactly what we have to do with the word. We cannot just go to church and cannot just hear the word and cannot just leave church and keep it for ourselves and do absolutely nothing with it. We have a responsibility to do what the word has called us to do, and everything that we're looking for to get through this life is in the word. Now, I'm talking to myself. Everybody got their own 1 John 1:9, and they got to do about whatever it is that you called off today. But I'm going to tell you what, Pastor, you don't come on here and preach that often because you already got a great lineup, and you stepped in today, and we got some black coffee from you. I mean, you gave us the business on today, and we're thankful to what
we
needed because we think too much of what we do is all of that, and we are so far away from the truth. We think that what we're doing pleases God, and yet we are so far away. Yes, God forgives us. He knows we're in this flesh, and we thank him that he will never stop working on us, but we got to do better. And today, starting with the word that you just brought to us, we have been challenged to do better. So I'm going to let you go and get your water and calm down, and I'm going to do these announcements. I feel like you were kind of already in my prayers this morning, on my announcements today. I don't know what's going on.
Let's say this. That was a long time ago, and you still remember that. That was a long time. You brought it back to mom. Jesus said that was back around. That was a long time ago, girl.
It was a long time ago. Ooh. Yes, but it's relevant to today. We can't just get the word and then do absolutely nothing with it. Not only are we not responsible for just keeping it to ourselves and in our household, but we have to share it with people who don't know. And yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's hard. Yes, the world is evil and mean and horrible, but we have an obligation. And when we read the word of God, it gives us what we need to continue to do what God has called us to do. So we are so thankful. We are so grateful. Pastor, we appreciate the word that you have brought to us today. Good morning, y'all. Happy Saturday. If you didn't know what day it is, we're going to pray for you in addition to everything else we have to pray for because, wow. Okay. It is Father's Day weekend. We have gotten some black coffee served up to us today, hot, steaming off the press. Pastor brought us a word, and we are so, so very grateful. Amen. So just a couple of announcements for you. Tomorrow, Sunday, June 19th, we will have our in-person Sunday school at 9 a.m. Teachers, please be there and please be on time. A lot of this that we're being taught is for us to be better, to help us to continue to move forward, not only in the way that we learn, but in the way that we teach, and not only in the way that we teach, but even in the way that we witness, because even in witnessing, we're teaching too. So please make sure to come out. It's not just for teachers. It's for everyone. It is Sunday school. Amen. Okay. So please be there beginning at 9 a.m. Also, our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. We will celebrate Father's Day tomorrow, and we will be blessed to have the preached word by Reverend DeAndre Perry of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. We so look forward to that. You are welcome, absolutely, to join us in person. All we ask is that you wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. We will provide you with one. If you're not willing to come in, you're not comfortable with being in person in church service, no problem. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Don't forget, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Please do not forget to tune in. Amen, and give her your support. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class. Deacon Oliver Welch will be teaching from the book of Proverbs, chapters 21 to 25. The questions are available online at rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab, or if you're in person in church on Sunday, they will be on the back table. Amen. We know that the back table's got all types of free stuff on it, all types of good stuff on it, all types of info on it. So make sure you're checking the back table on your way in or out of the sanctuary. But we know that the early bird gets the worm. Amen. So the goal is to check it on your way in so you're not missing out on any information. Amen. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their Ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. To 1 p.m. So for more info on Christian resources at our church website, rfcm.org, and you will find out how to participate in that if you'd like to. And Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for the Ladies Bible class. Amen. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org, and click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give to the preacher that preached today, Pastor O, we know how Pastor O feels about taking up offerings when he preaches, but he is a Saturday preacher today, and we're going to give him a love offering, amen. So if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought us that amazing word today, please remember to specify his name. It's Pastor O, duh, amen. When you give your offering, make sure to notate that it's for Pastor O, and we will see to it that he receives it, amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with them, amen. Amen. So Pastor was all in my announcement today, amen. And so he basically read to you the inspirational verses, well, the inspirational verses that I was going to read to you today, but I'm going to read it again anyway. Why? Because it's my announcement. Amen. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And beginning, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Amen. We do truly look forward to the day where there is no more death and crying and sin, and we can dwell with the Lord in a perfect environment, amen, with no sin, nothing bad, and we can glorify the Lord and be with him forever. We absolutely look forward to a time when all this down here is done and over with, amen. But we do have to remember that we, right now, are still here, and we have a job to do, amen? Amen. So we want to, of course, pray, as always, for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Continue to pray for our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries. Continue to pray for Mother Irma Miller, who is recovering at home. Continue to pray for Pastor John McFall, who is in the hospital. Continue to pray for the father of Run for Christ Ministries, Tyrone Hamilton. Again, all of our mothers on the move, as we affectionately call them at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and grieving everywhere. You know, initially you can say, okay, well, you remember to pray about, you know, Texas, and you remember to pray about Buffalo, and, you know, but as the days go on, there's just multiple mass shootings and multiple in a day. The numbers are just escalating to a point where we can't even remember to pray for everything, but praise God, he knows everything. So just continue to pray for all of those who are bereaved and grieving everywhere. Continue to pray for our very own Anita Chambers and the loss of her mom. Also, our own Keela Freeman and the loss of her aunt. Continue to pray for our world as a whole, our nation, all of our leaders, our president, and all of those who make decisions for us in this world. Amen? Amen. So it's graduation season, y'all, okay? It's wedding season, but we going to honor the graduates first. Amen. So we just want to ask that you pray for all of the graduates, you know, especially high school grads. It's a transitional time in their lives from being a child and kind of being under the wing of mom and dad to, you know, going into young adulthood. And some are going away to college, never having been away from home before, and they will have to live independently of their families and those who are close to them. And for some, it won't be the easiest thing to do. And so we want to make sure that we pray for them as they transition into this world and pray that they have the support of positive friends and loved ones who will lead them in the right direction. And when we say in the right direction, we are talking about in the direction of the word of the Lord. Amen. Because we know that the word of the Lord is tried and true, and it is the only thing that will sustain you in this life. Amen. Amen. June, so what, it's third Saturday. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated this past week, who have celebrated, you know, in the first couple weeks of this month. We do nothing but give love, hugs and kisses and rainbows and sprinkles and all that stuff to all of our Running for Christ ministry members who have celebrated this month. So we've got, let's see, Harley on the 4th, Marissa on the 6th, Mother Cheryl on the 6th, Keela on the 6th, Luke on the 13th, our favorite president, President Sharon Abraham on the 14th, Deacon Eric on the 15th, Alexandria on the 16th, Janaya on the 17th, Naomi on the 21st, and Deaconess Alicious will be closing us out on the 22nd. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. So because it's Father's Day weekend, and we just heard an amazing word from Pastor O, preached on our Saturday worship service, which we know is rare, we want to honor him as a husband, a father, and a grandfather. So your devotional for today is from our very own Pastor O, entitled God versus Satan. Now, he talked about this in his sermon. That's why I said, Jesus, he is all up in my announcements. He's all up in my prayers today, because I'm like, he's talking about this, and I don't want him to talk about it. So thankfully, he didn't expound too much on it. But Pastor sent this to us in an email the other day, and I wanted to read it to you. It's entitled God versus Satan. And it reads, you know, church, it never ceases to amaze me how quick we are to believe what Satan says, just as Adam and Eve did. God said, if you eat from that tree, you will die or be separated from me, which is your source of life. Then the devil came along and said, you will not die, but you will in fact become like God, telling yourself what to do and no one else. So they ate, and here we are. Here's another example. Jesus says, no sex unless you're married. The devil says, that does not even make sense. Why would God give you the urge for it and then tell you not to do it? It makes no sense. Then he said, try it, and you will see there is nothing wrong with it. So we did what the devil said, and now we have millions of single-parent homes and a collapsing society. We seem to believe what Satan says and challenge every word that Jesus has spoken to us. Even if Jesus says, by my stripes, you are healed, we say we are sick and can't get well. Jesus said, seek first and above all else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the necessities of life will be added to us. But we say, I am looking for my blessing and my breakthrough. I am believing God for a house, a car, a husband, some kids, etc. The Bible says that Jesus went to his hometown, and he did not do many miracles there. And it wasn't because he did not have the power to, but it was because they did not have the faith it took to receive their miracle. Could it be that we agree with Satan, with what Satan is saying, and we really want what he is offering more than what God has said to us or offered us? Remember Adam and Eve said that the tree was pleasing to the eye, lust of the eye, and saw that the tree was good for food lust of the flesh, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, becoming self-determining apart from God. If you read this carefully, you will see that Satan only offered them what they wanted anyway. But this is what the Lord Jesus says to us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. With all the love in Jesus the Christ, Pastor O. So I pose a question that has to be answered personally. Which will you choose, to love the world or to love the creator of the world? Will you choose God or choose to live apart from him? From the level of evil that we are seeing in this world, it should be evident that time is running out. Today, Saturday, okay, June 18th, today is a great day to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in honor and celebration of Father's Day on tomorrow, I have a poem I would like to read entitled, What is a Dad? A dad is a person who is loving and kind and often knows what you have on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests, and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of your triumphs, but when things go wrong, a dad can be patient and helpful and strong. In all that you do, a dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him your dad. Thank you, Dad, for listening and caring, for giving and sharing, but most of all, for just being you. And so we want to say this prayer together in honor of all of our dads. Heavenly Father, today we ask you to bless our earthly fathers for the many times they reflected the love, strength, generosity, wisdom, and mercy that you exemplify in your relationship with us, your children. We honor our fathers for putting our needs above their own convenience and comfort, for teaching us to show courage and determination in the face of adversity, for challenging us to move beyond self-limiting boundaries, for modeling the qualities that will turn us into responsible, principled, caring adults. Not all of our fathers lived up to these ideals, but give them the grace to acknowledge and learn from their mistakes. Give us the grace to extend to them the same forgiveness that you offer us all. Help us to resist the urge to stay stuck in past bitterness, instead moving forward with humility and peace of heart. We ask your blessing on those men who served as father figures in our lives when our biological fathers weren't able to do so. May the love and selflessness they showed us be returned to them in all their relationships and help them to know that their influence has changed us for the better. Give new and future fathers the guidance they need to raise happy and holy children, grounded in a love for God and other people. And remind these fathers that treating their wives with dignity, compassion, and respect is one of the greatest gifts that they can give their children. We pray that our fathers who have passed on into the next life have been welcomed into your loving embrace, and that our family will one day be reunited in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we thank you for fathers all over the world today, and together we say in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and those are your announcements. Amen.
Amen. You know, it sounds so funny when you were reading what I wrote. I was like, Jesus, you said that. She giving me credit for what he said. Dang. That you wrote it. You wrote it. So
by Pastor O.
I know. It's,
by way
exactly.
Of Jesus. There we go.
By way of Jesus.
By way
Amen.
Of Jesus. Amen.
You know, and I could tell Grammarly was with me all the way because the sentences actually made sense and the tenses were in the right place.
Amen. I'd have fixed them even if they didn't. It's okay.
Thank you. That's thank you, Crystal. That's what I need. God has surrounded me with some awesome people.
Amen.
I can't, I can't mess up.
We
y'all
won't let
fix
you.
It right up.
Yes, we got you. Yep. Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Crystal. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
So Absolutely. Much. I am so my. In about, you know, 5 or 10 more minutes, my voice going to be completely gone to about
gone.
Maybe 5 o'clock this evening, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing like
Thank
it. I
you.
Love it. I am so on fire. I could preach again. Wow.
I know you can. I know you can. Keep participating. Amen.
Like a fire. It is Jesus.
Yes.
Like the fire ain't shut up. You just send it all out. But anyway, thank you, Crystal.
Good.
Appreciate
You're
you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Bill Meir, we say what's up and congratulations again.
Absolutely.
And y'all look
yes,
to good
you.
Together in all that purple under the 2022 sign.
That's what I'm talking about.
Looking
hey.
Raw.
Yes.
Over there looking royal.
Yes.
2020. Can you believe it,
yes.
Crystal? I mean,
no.
Think back when he was a baby and now he's, you know, ready
yeah,
to launch into life on his own. And how much will
yeah.
God do for a mother who Ooh. Did what you did?
I don't know.
Lord,
keep
mercy.
It coming, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. I want to make my back to be
You already earned it, so it's coming.
I did.
It's coming because you worked
for
it. For
you. Yes, I told him prom was for him and graduation was for me. That's you think you free? Oh no, brother, I'm free. Amen.
I ain't got to get up,
okay.
Take you to school no more.
Okay.
I know, you know, go in there and make your own lunch. You growing up?
Yes, you working out. Okay.
You're gonna be like, what you gonna have for dinner? Not this
wow.
is what we have, and what you gonna have?
That's right. What you gonna eat? Cause Ooh. I got mine together.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
I'm on the spiritual high right now. You better let me go.
I know. Let me go. Go ahead.
Let him go. Let him go.
Amen. Amen.
Love you. Tell me and we
Ooh,
say what's
love
up.
You too. I sure will. Thank you.
Hey, man. I want to send a big old giant thank you out to my girl. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, she's my, you know, I'm telling you, she helped me to get started in Blog Talk Radio. Her and Pastor John McFall, I thank him for allowing me to preach in his place today, and we're praying for him that the Lord put him in this preaching place. Amen. I want to thank my girl Loretta Welch and really holding her up in prayer. The Lord has been talking to me about her and her daughter and what they're going through, but you know, I was so impressed with Kimberly's statement of faith. I mean, she you know, that's when you can write what she wrote and post that on Facebook after what she's been through, amen, usually people hate Jesus after something like that. But she recognized she's going through it, okay? But she also put it out there on Facebook what she's going through, and she's going through it like a champ. And it ain't no easy stuff, but she's going through it like a champ. Amen. Want to thank God for Deaconess June Rogers. Amen. Dr. Rogers, she don't like it when you call her that because she's so humble and so modest, but she really is. She don't play doctor. You know how people be calling each other doctor and they ain't? Well, she really is, but she is so humble with it and so humble under God with it. Amen. Thank God for her and her crazy husband, my best friend, one of my best friends, Rayfield Rogers. Amen. When Rayfield get in his boat, the fish be like, oh no, is that Rayfield? Oh Lord have mercy, we need to swim. Amen. But he be catching them and they be cutting them up. Amen. And my girl Crystal, amen, as always, and all of Running for Christ, y'all make this happen. So I thank God for all of you. Amen. Now Crystal told you tomorrow that we're going to have Minister Reverend DeAndre Perry from Macedonia Baptist Church in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's coming to preach for us on Father's Day. This is my off week, and next week is my off week, but I'll be back right here preaching, amen, on my off week. I'm trying to figure out how this is my off time, but I'm preaching. Anyway, God got tons of jokes, but amen, I love it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Don't let me forget the benediction. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, the whole church said, amen. Send this one out to all the fathers. This is a pre-Father's Day blessing right here.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father. If you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I think I'll color this man love. Our real old man, he got killed in the war. And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father. I'm going.